You're listening to Counterculture on RCR.
Reality Check Radio.
You with Reality Check Radio here with Marie on Counterculture. Joining me now, fresh from her trip to Montreal, we caught up with her before she went, Gloria Masters from Handing the Shame Back. Hey, Gloria, how are you? Welcome home.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, how was the trip?
Well, it was incredible. It was, first of all, it was three flights, 29 hours in the air to get there. And it was pretty full on from the moment we landed. And the whole ethos really was around looking at the sex trade industry and, you know, equality and action around that, like, has it helped having it decriminalised? So, as you know, I come from it, at it from a person who was child sex trafficked. And we do know the stats, and the stats across the world are fairly consistent, Marie, and that is that over 50% of children that have been child sex trafficked or girls do tend to end up in the sex trade. And equally a heartbreaker that over 50% of those are under the age of 14.
Oh, it's just devastating.
And this is happening in our country. And again, you know, as you know, handing the shame back, we're making noise and we will continue to because we've got to do something.
So what are some of the misconceptions around that normal people may have when they say, oh no, that's not happening here? What are the some of the misconceptions in terms of who's doing it, who's perpetrating it, and how widespread it is?
Yeah, the misconceptions are that if there is trafficking here or sex trafficking, it's usually with older teenagers and they've been brought in. So we're talking about people that have come in from the Philippines or across the continent. That's very rarely the case. With child sex trafficking, most people, as you know, I interviewed Paul Hutchinson, the executive producer of Sound of Freedom movie, and he talked to me about, Gloria, most children who are child sex trafficked sleep in their own beds at night, and New Zealand is no different, Marie. So another misconception is that it would be lower socioeconomic levels or migrants or immigrants or our Indigenous communities and population that are perpetrating this. No, the money's too big. It's across all levels of society and culture. And it's right to the very top and spreads out across our country. So I was informed by Ellie Marie, that you know Ellie Marie Diamond from Wahine Toa Rising. She talked about that the truck stops from Whangarei down to the South Island have child sex trafficking occur any night of the week. So, you know, we just need interested and motivated individuals to get out there with some cameras and start filming this.
Oh, God, you know, that's pretty pretty terrifying. And from what you're saying, so it's the families that are still involved in this. And, I mean, that's what brought you into sex trafficking as a child. So really what you're saying, it's same shit, different day, and not a lot has changed in all the decades since you were a victim.
No, I don't believe so. But you see, what works in the perpetrator's favour, well, there's several things, but one is the silence, because good people, most good people like you and I, it goes against everything in us, doesn't it? It goes against our morals, our ethics and our values. So we turn away, well, not you and I, but good people turn away because they struggle to accept it could happen and it feels so wrong. But all that does is have these traffickers and these perpetrators more able and able to then get more victims under their little scheme. So, yeah, that's another misconception. For safe adults everywhere, there's many more of us than there are the perpetrators, and we need to do something.
Mm. So, speaking of doing something, there was a Global Awareness Day this past Sunday for Hand and Shame Back. Tell me a little bit more about this. This sounds fascinating.
I was so excited because it was our second Global Awareness Day. And when I say global, I mean global. So we had people this year reach out from Alabama and New York and say that they had permission to walk from the Empire State Building, which they did. So we've had people across several states in Australia, across the US, some from the UK. We had a group from Africa. We had people from around New Zealand, good old Matamata, Tauranga, the Mount, Whangarei. We had people from Wellington and Christchurch. So we've been very, very thrilled to see all these groups. And all we did was ask people, wherever you were in the world at 10 a.m., please walk with a group or a friend, have a moment's silence for the survivors who didn't make it, because there's a percentage of us who don't make it through. And we just want to bring attention to the huge numbers of child sexual abuse survivors out there, including current ones.
So I know that when I spoke to Heidi Olson, who was the SANE nurse, there were a number of victims there. So these kids weren't necessarily trafficked. A lot of these kids were actually victims of their own siblings due to the influence, particularly of porn. So when you get into a traffic situation where generally you have an adult which is taking the trust of a child and profiting from that trust in this way, how does that get communicated? I mean, how would somebody I'm assuming people like teachers or those who work with children would be the first port of call that they may necessarily to pick up that something could be going on with these kids.
Yeah, and look, I think you're right, and I know it's interesting you raise that because I'm working in schools at the moment, going into schools, and I'm just pulling this out, Marie, and talking about this, which is my latest book, and it's exactly on educating parents, teachers, and others, and it's called Keeping Kids Safe. And it's a roadmap for parents, teachers, and others, exactly because children don't speak. Very hard for a child to ever find the words, but what children will do is they show us through their behaviour. So, for instance, me as a little Leon, up to 16, before I could escape any of it, I was out of control at school. Why? Because school was my only safe place, which meant that I could be free, and every part of me was screaming, see me, notice me. Rescue me, save me, help me, free me. But I couldn't say the words, but I was so out of control that teachers knew. And at the end of the day, I would be hiding in the school grounds so they couldn't find me and send me home. And children today are no different. And my biggest tip for parents and teachers is turn off the words children use and start to notice their behavior, how they interact, what they're doing, who they may change their behavior around, and notice and trust that over their words. So I think too, part of our Global Awareness Day, Marie, was that global hand signal I released last year. And that is designed for children under 16s to show that they're not safe and they're being abused. And we know it's working in New Zealand because I've had people reach out. So very proud of that. And I just love to see it on a billboard or on our harbour bridge or somewhere. Come on, let's save some kids. If I'd had that sign and other survivors I've spoken to and interviewed, if we'd had a sign, a hand sign, we would have used it.
Of course, that sign is a faced palm up with thumb across the palm and then fingers wrapped around across your thumb. So it's a really nice little hand signal because it's something that's sort of quite, it's not a natural movement that you would do. So it is a very deliberate movement and it's something easy for kids to learn and signal. But of course, you can signal it. You have to have someone to recognize what they're signaling for, isn't it?
And that's what the education needs to be.
What has been the response from schools or education outlets now in terms of allowing you to come in and talk about these issues in schools? Have they been open? Have you been able to get access?
Look, with some, I do get some, bless their little hearts, Marie, some schools tell me, oh no, that doesn't happen here. So that's okay. But the ones that do get me in, they are just blown away because of the impact. And the impact is our huge numbers across Aotearoa and the fact that our beautiful girls by the age of 16, 1 and 3, and our boys 1 and 6 will have been sexually abused. So these teachers are amazing, and what they have to deal with is often a child who feels safe enough to show it through telling a friend or drawing a picture or however it happens to manifest. But they need help and they need tools. And I think one of the reasons I wrote this is because in here are chapters and modules for parents and teachers to use, like red flags, Marie, what to look for. Another one, what to do if a child discloses, tools to pass on to children, that sort of thing. Because we assume that parents think that when children, for instance, are on their laptops or online, they're okay, they're safe. Actually, no, they're not really. And a fair percentage of 11-year-olds were interviewed across Australia last week and admitted that they'd been approached by people they didn't know for, some type of exploitation. So we have to open it. It's eyes wide open time.
And that's the interesting thing you say there, because I mean, NetSafe as a entity in this country was created for exactly that situation. And that's because, to protect these kids in that space. But it's again, it's how do you protect the kids when the danger is within? It's not actually external from online. I mean, there's all those external dangers, but how do you protect them when the danger's in the next room?
Easy. You as a parent or a safe adult, you start to instill some software on your system. You have simple rules like no devices in bedrooms. You have limited times. You are the author and owner of any stuff that comes through your browser and across to your children's browsers. There are many things parents can do, and NetSafe are excellent. They have so many ideas and tips and tricks. But the point is, for parents, we know that there's just so much exploitation. For instance, one of the most the biggest apps where children are being sexploited is Instagram. There's TikTok, Snapchat. You think of all the popular ones. It's all across there, and these predators are able to get in through messaging, through apps, through games, through targeting. And once they've targeted, then they start grooming. And then once they've groomed, they've got that child. And unfortunately, for our older teenagers, some of them are taking their own lives because they can't cope with it.
And that grooming, there's been a lot of media just recently around scamming, online scamming. And I mean, this is all part of that wider picture, isn't it? I mean, this is deception. And when you're a child, it's I mean, gosh, it's bad enough to discern as an adult that deception. Imagine trying to discern that as a child.
But it's interesting what you say, because to me, and again, that's another module in the book, is on grooming. There are four groups that are groomed. One is the child, the second are the parents, the third is communities, and the fourth is society in general. Guess what the biggest group is
What?
that's groomed out of the
Oh, probably the parents.
100%. Why? Because they're the gatekeepers. So when you talk about grooming, forget the children. Notice the adults that are being flattered. Notice how someone is always wanting to help them with their kids. or take their kids away to do something with them that's special, or continually offer and flatter and groom and groom, and parents don't see it coming. They're exhausted, they're busy, and they don't see it coming. And we know 100 times out of 100 times when a predator is exposed or a pedophile is exposed, Marie, everyone says, "But I thought he was such a nice guy. He always seemed so helpful. He was always so friendly."
And that's actually, it's funny, I've just had Mia Hughes on, and she talked about the chain of trust in terms of in medicine. But when you say this, this is creating, isn't it? This grooming is creating a chain of trust with the parents, and having with that chain, convincing them to unlock their most precious part of their family, their children, to these people. It's quite terrifying. So what are the sort, I mean, I guess that could be anybody. I mean, it could be a family member, it could be a family friend, it could be a teacher, it could be a community, somebody in the community. Is there, I mean, that's, it's so tough to, you have to be on guard.
100%. And look, Heidi and I know each other. So we had a meeting last week, and I'm going to interview her next week as a survivor. But we were talking about this very thing. And look, it's almost impossible, but it's the old adage, isn't it? If it feels too good to be true, it probably is. And I think instinctively for parents, it's about notice and trust when your child is uncomfortable around someone. You know your child, you, and this is what I push in this book for parents. You know your child's first cry. You distinguish that from any other baby, right? You know by the way they move their head or the way they're walking, something's up. So I think it's time to give the power back to the parents and say, "Hey, trust your instinct. You're the expert on your child." Because the more we can allow parents to do this, the more power we have for these beautiful tamariki ratatangi to perhaps be a little safer. And you know what's interesting is that they always say, I presented at a Rotary group a couple of months ago, beliefs, these 70, 80-year-old men mainly. And one stood up after I finished the presentation and he said, "Gloria, I just want to thank you." He said, "Now that I look back, now you talk about behavior, I recognized it in my son. I just didn't know what I was seeing." So we know, we know.
I had a colleague that I work with in the day job was letting me know about there's been a teacher that has in the region here who has been under investigation for sexual impropriety with students. What form that takes, I do not know. And there's obviously name suppression because there's been nothing in the media other than a very scant article. Now, what she was able to let me know is that that teacher was at a school where my kids went to primary school, not while my kids were there, but certainly whilst hers were there. And then they have then moved on to several other schools until obviously a complaint has been made. But it's the cone of silence that concerns her because she said she's got two of her children at two different schools that this teacher was at, and not, neither school has reached out to the parent body asking, have they got any concerns or is there any other victims there? And she said, gosh, you know, why not? I mean, what are your thoughts around that? Is that commonplace? What should happen in a situation like that?
Unfortunately, yes, because again, there was another study done across Australia last year, that terrible one, Marie, where you would have heard that one in six men had sexual desires towards children. But within that similar study was also asked if you had an adult and a child sit in front of you as an adult and say sexual abuse occurred, the child says, and the adult says, "No, it didn't." To this day, well over two-thirds of adults, late 2023, will believe the adult. So we got a lot of work to do, because if we don't start trusting that what children try and tell us or show us is for real, there's no gain in it. Ask me, ask me the win in it or the positive in it for a child to say what is happening. There's only one thing. Please make it stop. That's it. That's it. But because parents, and getting back to your point about school, the schools that had knowledge and parents aren't involved, the problem is that when they notice something going on, they're believing an adult over a child, and they just will. So until we can start to do more educating, until we can start getting parents standing behind their children and saying, I trust my child, I believe my child, because no one wants to know this stuff.
No, as you said, it's as you, I mean, handing back the shame. I mean, handing the shame back. The shame is what will keep people silent. And I know that when Heidi, in our interview, finished with the story of her friend who does education on devices and pawns in a school near her, in a small, small school, and the principal did the classic, oh no, we don't have any of that going on here. And it was mind-blowing at how widespread it was. And I guess that's the concern. I think our naivete and willful blindness on some of this is going to be our undoing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you're so right. We had Ali Mao had a panel discussion actually last year with Ali Mao and Louise Nicholas and some of the big players in this space in our country. And they Ali said, New Zealand got no idea of what's coming. And we don't, we haven't prepared for it. We're not doing anything. We're not doing enough. One child being abused is one too many, isn't it? One child finding the courage to share or show that this person is touching them inappropriately or abusing them, and that's what disputed. Come on, New Zealand, stand up.
Hey, look.
Let's save some kids.
Yeah, let's do save some kids. Now, that book of yours, Keep Kids Safe, where can they get that? The people
So,
interested in the book.
oh yeah, perfect. GloriaMasters.com. And yeah, look, I sent it to one of the directors of education, Deirdre Alderson, and she got it. And as we do, we find it hard to find time to read, don't we, Marie? But she finally did, and she emailed me and she said, I so regret not reading this sooner. We've got to give parents the tools. It's time for us to band together, because if we don't, we're going to see more and more and more of this occur. And the issue becomes, walking with the beautiful survivors on Sunday throughout New Zealand, walks everywhere, people are saying the impact of this not being believed means survivors go underground, and that's where our rehabs are over 85% full of people like me who have suffered childhood sexual abuse. Over 55% of our prison inmates have childhood trauma like this at their core. Did you know that over 55 to 60% of suicides in our country have this at their core? PTSD sufferers, people think Vietnam vets, with all due respect, over 70% of PTSD sufferers have some form of childhood trauma like this at their core. Let me point out a difference. Vietnam vets, lauded, applauded, never have to buy a drink again, get benefits, have family looked after while they're offshore or once they're back. Survivors, please go away and shut up. No one wants to hear your story. Oh, so you did drugs? Well, I've written you off. And there's shame, blame, name, black sheep, vilified, decried, everything. So I just think these beautiful survivors who I'm so proud to stand beside and so proud of handing the shame back. We offer a safe place for people to land.
Oh, well, Gloria, keep up the good work. This has been Gloria Masters handing the shame back. Of course, the book is called Keeping Kids Safe, which you can get at GloriaMasters.com. Hey, Gloria, we always will continue to catch up because this is, as I said, a topic that I'm staying on quite a lot for this year. It's always good. I'm glad you guys had a great time in Montreal, and I look forward to catching up with Ellie Marie pretty soon too.
Thank you so much.
Don't disappear, everybody. Still to come here on Reality Check Radio, we have got a flashback. I will be playing you the interview, well, actually one of the part of the interview I did in the Fourth Estate with Dr. Muriel Newman. The end of that particular interview was an absolute cracker, and I think it's worth a replay here in Counterculture. So don't disappear. That's coming up next. And then, of course, a little later on is going to be Marty here with Media Matters with me on Counterculture with Reality Check Radio.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.